Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Good people of YouTube, these are the comments from my last Mo Salah video, the one where we were exploring the idea that Mo Salah may or may not leave Liverpool, and for some reason, when you explore things, people think that you're only making the case for the worst thing to happen. Because if you don't say, hey, this is terrible, and the owners are awful people, and you must all follow me, then you can only be saying something weak. Boy, YouTube's a toxic place. If you said you're going to unsubscribe in my comments, goodbye. We don't care. If your reaction to something is just to say I'm going to unsubscribe and you can't have a chat with someone, especially on a channel where we just want to have, like, Liverpool chat, we don't need you around. Boom. You can go. Or you can realize that you were just little bit overreactionary because you care about this thing, stick around. Either way, it works. I'm going to go through all these comments. And boy, guys, there were a lot of comments. There was a lot of discourse in the chat, but I also wanted to, you know, point you guys to let you know, like, you know, we read the comments, we see it. And if you really want to get in the comments, get over to the Discord. There is a link down there in the description. First comment, which actually appeared up on the video, which is 23 hours ago now, is if FSG don't sign Salah and Verge, it'll be unforgivable. These guys are too unique to the squad and the type of player in market are less so. The immediate response to that from Sahara Desert Dragon, which, my God, sounds like a hot animal. But for how long? And I think it's a real crux of what I'm not sure I got to the other day, but how do you transition away from legends at clubs, pay them what you think they're worth, and also bring in a new generation? How do you have the goodbye without the acrimonious nature of what everything that comes with that, right? And I think it's difficult. I think someone is always going to be cast as a bad guy because it makes for better trashy headlines. And someone is always going to be upset that the player they really loved is leaving. And that, whether that's because they love the age, they love the profile of that person, they grew up with them, or they gave them some of their best memories, or any of these things, they're all justified feelings. They're all justified emotions, right? And as a fan base, yeah, like, we'll get to this further up. We kind of have to make our peace with the fact that players get old at some point. Whether you think Mo Salah and Virgil van Dijk are old yet is up to you. I think personally these two guys are having kind of like a renaissance of sorts. Can you have a second renaissance? A renaissance of sorts where they are able to play a little bit longer because, you know, players keep themselves in good shape at this point in time and they're able to play for longer. You know, Ronaldo is playing for longer in arguably a lesser league, but still a very, like, you know, he's playing very well. Salah is playing above where I'd imagine a lot of people thought he would be at this point. They thought there'd be a sharp decline, because guess what? Very often there are sharp declines in wingers and specialist positions in the league, because either those positions go out of fashion or those people physically drop away as the natural aging process kind of comes and takes you, father time. But I do want to explore this, and I do think it's worth saying, like, if you sign these guys to these big contracts, which is however much money spread out over the next couple of years, plus bonuses, plus all these kind of things, how can you convince a good, and I mean like a really good player who wants to develop and play every week and be at the very peak of their powers, to come in and understudy for one of these guys, or even come in and not be the understudy, but take over from those people and have the pressure of one of those big boys at the club breathing down on them? It's always difficult. It's something that there are multiple Liverpool stories where players have moved on in the past and new people have come in. It went from the transition from Keegan and Kenny and those kind of things where someone goes, I'm going to move on now. And suddenly you're like, right, well, we need someone else. Do you want Liverpool to be left in the lurch in that way? You obviously don't want that, but like, how do you reason with that? How do you rationalize that? It's a big challenge, I think. Then there's this other school of thought, which is reflected in this comment. He's going nowhere. These greedy owners need to pay up. And then, again, another response. The owners aren't making the decision. Well, I think it goes both ways here, right? He's going nowhere. These greedy owners need to pay up. Liverpool, revenue-wise, certainly do very well. But I would also say that revenue, profit, like all these different lines that people want to draw as to where Liverpool make money, don't make money, how much money should be made on a club. You know, it's hard to, where your line sits and where my line sits probably going to be different. Do I think someone should make profit from Liverpool? Absolutely. You came in at one point and you saved us from the brink of things being terrible due to previous terrible owners. And knowing that the grass isn't always greener, I think is really important when it comes to, you know, being a fan. There aren't, you know, the Glazers got Manchester United into this terrible mess. Chelsea sit third in the Premier League, not far off the top, and they have like 0.6 chance of winning the Premier League at the moment. But, and I mean 0.6 out of 100. But that doesn't mean that they're good owners. Like, there is a big jump between being on the stage they're at and the stage that City are at, the stage that Liverpool are at, the stage that Arsenal are at. And do I think they can take that jump? Probably, but do I think they'll be able to compete against others? I don't know. Like, that always remains to be seen. Until you're lifting the Premier League trophy, people are sniping and there's people within your own fan base who think that your manager's not fit for it and all these kind of things, right? And then there are some other people who are taking like the longer view on this. Contract talks before the biggest week. Ugh. This is the flip side of that now, right? And this was what I was so interested about, why I wanted to go through some of these comments, right? Can I zoom? Yeah, you can zoom in. Yeah. You see this? Contract talks for things. It is a weird time to say it. Of course, it's a very powerful time for Salah to speak outside of a stadium where he's just scored a couple of goals, one of which was a penalty, but arguably you still have to score the penalty, you still have to convert. He was still the best attacker in our front line. And, you know, it means something to do this, you know, when you are in a strong negotiation position. But I agree. There were the comments from people close to Rami Abbas and Salah that he would love to stay. He'd love to become the Liverpool legend, the guy that, you know, people remember for the ages, a Premier League legend. And I get that. But part of that is also not just your output on the field. Part of that is also down to your output off the field. And you can do the charity work, all these kind of things. But bringing the club into disrepute or weakening what the fan base consider to be your team's PR during a time when you are at your very best and potentially doing it to your own benefit but to the detriment of the team doesn't bring you into the fan base's good graces. On the flip side of that, I would say this. What do you really think this does at Liverpool during the week? What's the real impact of Salah calling out to the public what is already known in private by almost all the players and the coaching staff alike? It's very clear that, you know, someone like Arne Slot loves working with Salah and Salah loves working with Slot. Those two guys have a good synergy. Trent clearly was blown away, as he said himself, by what Arne Slot was laying out. Van Dijk is really enjoying the training sessions. There are big players here. There is a big pull to Liverpool at the moment because of the working environment that we're creating. And that means that there will be other big players who are also drawn to this kind of thing. But at the same time, is it almost better the devil you know? Is it the grass isn't always greener with other players? and we'll get onto this in a second, as the comments begin to evolve. This owners, and I'll make up some of the English here, this owners are embarrassing and have to go if they don't give the man a new contract. Is that genuinely where, I know this is an FSG out logo, but is that genuinely where we're at? Is that genuinely what we think about Liverpool's owners at this point? That if they don't do what the fan base think is best, then the best thing is just to leave. Are we in a relationship where we just go, well, if you're not going to marry me, we might as well break up? And by the way, marriages have many different iterations. Like, you know, you go through a lot of different phases. Then there's some other people saying it's not the owners, FFS. I think it's FSG, buddy, but you meet right. It's the sporting director and the director of football at FSG. They'll be looking at Salah, what he's asking for, and what they think he can give, and likely not budging on a wage cut. That's stupid, I'm with you, but please stop saying it's the owners when it's not. Well, I guess the diktat comes from the very top of the hierarchy, right? It's your head at the head of the totem pole, and every head below that, I don't know if that's the way totem poles work, but every head below that is kind of dictated by what you say. They hired Michael Edwards, they hired Richard Hughes, they hired Arne Slot because this is their policy. But the debate goes on. And again, I've not highlighted the number of subscribers to like flex on these people. Some people have 3 subscribers, some people have 363 subscribers. Some people have 23,000 subscribers. I'd love to be on 30,000, I'd love to be on 100,000. You know how idiotic that is to say. How do they go? You think they just walk away from a multi-billion dollar asset they own? It's a good point. Of course the owners have a say in this. You Muppet. Muppet being a very good use of the word there. If they want to stay, by the way, I'm not massively into abuse in my comments, but still. If they want him to stay, they're ensuring he does. Stop the faux enlightenment. Guys, we're in an enlightenment age. Lad, they have less input than you think. Michael Edwards can come back as CEO of football, a brand new position created solely for him. It will be stipulated significant autonomy in football decisions. Good point. Part of the reason Edwards left was because Klopp was had more autonomy than Edwards wanted, demanding contract extensions for flagging older players. This is a very good point, based on sentimentality. I don't know if that is necessarily right. I think the based on sentimentality thing, I think very often Klopp valued the holistic value of having older people in the team. And it's true to say, I think a lot of those older guys, you know, were ride or die for Klopp, but at the same time understood that there was some, you know, there was a bit of give or take with that, and you had to be ride or die. And the cult of Klopp, so to speak, was very powerful at the club, mainly because of what he brought to the team. Like, you know, you can't argue with some of those end results. Ending Liverpool's 30-year drought for a Premier League is very important. Winning the Champions League is very important. Having some of the biggest memories at Anfield is very important. All of these things are very shaping to me as a modern fan. I don't underestimate those things. But also, you know, when you're writing the history books, let's be accurate. There is no doubt that in order to come back, Edwards will have had a contractual black and white around the final say in footballing decisions. The owners will have some say, I'm sure. But want Salah, I'm sure they want Salah to stay. And it's Edwards who's not a fan base on age. Fan based on age. I don't quite know what that means. Right. So he's not a fan of Salah based on age. It's not faux anything. It's just more than 10% of my brain and shouting mindlessly at an empty boardroom. Good point. The boardroom was empty when you left this comment. I'd imagine there wasn't a board meeting. And I'd also imagine that they don't bring up in a PowerPoint presentation, yo, guys, see this in Lawrence McKenna's channel? Well, no, I don't think they do. Don't they? Maybe they do. Maybe they do bring up fan channels and they go, guys, we need to pay attention to this guy. Sign Salah and sign Nico Williams to add speed on the right and compete. It'd be unstoppable. Or then Salah could become the number 9. First of all, I think Mo Salah, I have no doubt that Mo Salah is adaptable in multiple positions. I think he's probably one of the great adapting players in the modern age on that right wing. I will say this. These kind of comments, I appreciate and I admire that you feel this can work. If it was that, and the comments kind of regulate themselves at this point. If it was that easy, I look forward to 120 million donation to Liverpool FC. very unrealistic fee-for-esque idea. How is a nice way to say this? It's great on a football game or when you're younger to believe that everyone, and I'm not being patronizing to a younger fan here, but that everyone wants to come to your club, that Liverpool is the only end goal for a lot of people, or that coming to Liverpool would be an all-time thing for a lot of these guys. For a lot of these guys, it would. I doubt that Mo Salah at the start of his career thought Liverpool would be where he'd end up, but I think he's made a home here. He's made a place that he feels comfortable. And for that reason, I think maybe he will want to stay. He is one of the form players, not only in the Premier League, but in Europe at the moment. And I think we're very headline-based. You cannot line up a Nico Williams if Salah is in the team, unless Salah moves to another position or Nico Williams is willing to move to another position or Slot has some sort of rotational idea for them that they will both buy in on. That's key to any new player coming to the side, is they understand their role and how often they'll play and all these kind of things. It's very unlikely that a £120 million player would get signed if we also had Mo Salah in the team. So which one do you want? Do you want the new player or do you want Salah to stay? How long do you believe Salah's window will be? And how long do you believe it would be until that new £120 million player got up to speed in the Premier League? Do you believe it's worth that risk of moving Salah on, a consistent, very injury-resistant player in the league? And also, you know, how much do you believe that Liverpool themselves will be able to attract someone else who would have Mo Salah's output? I'll just go back to these comments. Genuinely, I'll put that in the comments below. I'm not asking this as kind of like a, hey, you know, it's not rhetorical. I want to know what you guys think. If they let the best player in the world leave, there will be riots. I get this. I think fan power is very important in this fan base in particular. We are one that believes that we have a synergy with the club. You know, there is this kind of give and take of the relationship. You would not be Liverpool without us. We would not be Liverpool without what happens on the field. And that goes both ways, you know? The other side of that is understanding and being realistic as a fan base that this is a business and that very often the players negotiating directly with FSG as a business and understanding their dynamics rather than Liverpool, the football club, is also very important. We are the middle bit, which all fans and everything else feed into, or possibly one of the inputs, but I think we're in the middle here. You know, if you don't have the eyes on Liverpool, if you don't have the atmosphere at Anfield, if you don't have the famous history, Liverpool isn't as attractive. If Mo Salah doesn't get the adulation, if he doesn't have Mo Salah, Mo Salah, if he doesn't have all of these brandable big moments, is he still the same player? You know, if he doesn't have this relationship with working class fans and the other people who come to the stadium, can he market himself in the same way? If Liverpool doesn't have that same image, it goes both ways. Clear Salah wants to stay, but it's not his job to nab FSG, and neither should he. What is FSG doing? I think this is a really good analogy. Oh, it's not even an analogy. This is a good overview of where we're at the moment as a fan base. We don't want to have to let Salah go, but at the same time, we want there to be balance. This guy then goes on to comment, 10:35. This is why it's FSG out. You just don't get it. Any owner on business would sign Salah and sign someone else who could potentially match the same quality. FSG are skingy. Think he means stingy. I know from having a keyboard that S is far away from T and T is far away from K. I've got to admit, guys, if you're going to comment, I'm going to bring you up on your spelling, all right? Because it's the only thing I've got. It's stingy. I would probably misspell something if it wasn't my first language either. Having Mike Tyson as a laughing thing indicates to me that maybe you enjoy being punched in the head. It's a joke. All I'm saying is you're not going to sign someone whose output is the same as Salah, mainly because you cannot find someone who is the same output as Salah. That guy doesn't exist. He is the best output that there is. But I'll get to this in a minute. And this is this comment. This comment really stuck with me yesterday and why I kind of wanted to do this video. So the Raptor XX, congratulations. You win comment of the week. I'm actually going to heart that. Sadio started with us on that side before Mo came, and he was devastating. Don't forget. As you rightly point out, it's Hughes and Edwards who are negotiating with players, not the owners. As far as Hughes and Edwards go, that's their job. Boy, did any comment resonate with me in the comments of this video. It was this one. Sadio started there. So what I'm very curious about, how much of the output of Mo Salah has been down to his placement in the team, the significance, the funneling of the ball to his part of the field? And how often do we overlook some of the more, they're not negative, but the cons of Mo Salah as a player? He struggled throughout his career with his back to goal. There have been times where he likes to face up the opposition. There have been times where he's transitioned between playing more centrally and wider, where he's had that kind of roaming role, where he's played further down the field for Klopp to stretch the pitch, where he's played a little bit wider and had an underlapper and overlapper in Hendo and Trent, two of the strongest players in those positions. Not necessarily two of the strongest players in the world, but though they have both risen to be world-class at different points. But two of the strongest players in those specific positions for Liverpool. Hendo has been class for Liverpool through those years, not only as a captain, but also as a player executing what Klopp asked him to do within the constraints of his own technical ability and captain of the club. Trent, similarly, has also executed a lot in that period. And now Slot is asking them to execute. The fact that they've transitioned away from Klopp and Salah has still maintained a very high output indicates to me that there is somewhat of a It's very much on the player here. Some of the player's output has been incredible. But there is also the criticism of Salah that in some big games, they want him to step up and he's kind of gone missing or he hasn't. I think gone missing is maybe a bit of a problem. I think sometimes Liverpool rely on him having a gravity where players go towards him and therefore, because he's got that pull, Liverpool benefit from the space that Salah creates due to his gravity on the field where a player has to go towards him or they have to do something to deal with Salah. So it creates space for other players. It creates a lot of space on the edge of the box, say, because players are sucked towards him, blah, blah, blah. That's very important. That was always a very key part of the way that Klopp saw him, for sure. And also then, the way that Salah would do whatever he did with the ball was very... Obviously, it was to a very high level. So it goes both ways. His gravity is huge, but also then when he has the ball, he's done some really special things. Are there other players who could do that? There are other players who can technically do that. Can they do it as consistently as Salah? Can they do it without being injured in the same way as Salah? Probably not. I think that's a real testament to the way that Salah has maintained his body, maintained his mentality, maintained everything around him at the club, which is very important. Cool. Transfer Hokey Cokey FFS. These are the kind of things I love because it's interaction, but it essentially means nothing. Transfer Hokey Cokey. When was the last time that anyone, apart from a five-year-old at a party, referenced the Hokey Cokey? Even then, I don't even know if my four-year-old knows what the Hokey Cokey is. But thank you, because I am going to go home tonight and introduce them to the Hokey Cokey. Clubs and fans expect loyalty from players but won't show any in return. Disappointed to hear you, Lawrence, trying to defend the club here. I can't stress enough how exploring someone else's point of view is not defending that position. There are plenty of times where I have conversations with people I disagree with, and as arrogant or as condescending or dismissive as I might sound, very often I'm trying to understand where that person is coming from. If not, trying to see if my position could be improved by understanding their own position. We'll soon start pulling levers like Barcelona and Real Madrid. Get ready to rename the Kenny and the Cop. Any suggestions? Now, I think the Spotify main stand would sound great. I think the Google Pixel Cop certainly has a ring to it. But I don't currently believe that Liverpool will need to pull financial levers. I'm not quite sure where that information is coming from. And Real Madrid seem pretty solid at the top of the Deloitte list, so who knows? I think the best thing to do is to renew another 2 years. I think he will start declining after 34. What that's based on, I have no idea. But thank you, Doctor. I really appreciate your input on this. I would also similarly, do you know what I would do? I'd offer another 1-year deal and I'd offer an option slash lever to pull after that year on the club side, not necessarily seller's side. And I would say, in a way, that's a rolling contract. We're offering you really good money. We're offering you the option to extend with not only the club, but also within the Premier League to break new records. And we're offering you a consistent position here while we try and find someone who can take over from you in the short to medium term, in the medium to long term even. Lawrence, love your videos. Well put together. Thank you. As a fan that's been watching Liverpool since 1990, Salah is irreplaceable. He lifts everyone at the club with his performances. It does feel that way, doesn't it? Klopp felt irreplaceable. That midfield at one point felt irreplaceable. We were worried when Gini Wijnaldum left what would happen. The feeling, I think, is something that Edwards and Hughes will have to get over and have to park. But also, I think you have to acknowledge that. Like, you know, you don't manage. There's a reason that players are very good at shielding their emotions, depositing them somewhere else, compartmentalizing their brain, not being able to be affected by that emotion, maybe seeing that that emotion can drive them. There's a lot of different ways to treat emotion. And then sometimes I wonder if, for some weird reason on YouTube, we're encouraged, and here's the crux of where I really feel that we split as a fan base, but mainly it's our great superpower is that emotion, the wave of emotion the players can ride out on. When we go to Anfield, and sing You'll Never Walk Alone, those are incredible emotions that the players drive, and that we drive, and the 12th man, those kind of things. But at the same time, why are we then subject to some of these emotions that we know don't serve us? The wave of emotion that we use to service at Anfield is very important. But the wave of negative emotion that we feel when someone is irreplaceable, why do we not separate ourselves from that as a fan base and go, is that emotion real? Is that emotion the one that will benefit us the most? Why do we leave ourselves subject to that? One huge reason is we're encouraged to do that on social media by fan channels, by posts, by all these people. Because guess what? Makes it way easier to make you a passive viewer if every night you just come along and indulge your ego and your emotions in, I hate this player, or I hate this guy, or I hate that opposition guy. Believe me, like, I've seen that generated. I've been part of that machine at different points in my career. And it's not pleasant to be part of that. It doesn't leave, in the moment, it feels like a real high, but afterwards, it leaves quite a low. There's another angle here, says Mark Lake, I want to say. Salah will drop off in the next 3 years. That's fair and realistic. He will drop off next year, unlikely to be significant. So why not sign him, see how he goes, and then the option to sell is always there. Because I guess what you want is that, first of all, someone else will come in and buy him. I think that Saudi option always feels like it's there until about 2030. I think saying Mo Salah will play on until 2030 feels a little optimistic. He won't stay if minutes are guaranteed, and if minutes aren't guaranteed, I think he means, and Saudi will still be there in 1 to 2 years. I think this is a really good point, and one that Jamie made to me yesterday in the office after I was doing the video. There is always the option to sell to a super rich. Having the reliance on this super rich idea, there'll always be kind of, you know, a mug on the other end of the deal. Not that I think you'd be a mug to buy Mo Salah, but there'll always be someone who'll pay slightly over the odds or slightly over the market price within your bubble. I don't like the idea of relying on that, because it may be, by the way, that Saudi win the World Cup between now and whatever point we want to sell Salah, or any point you want to sell any player. And then suddenly your business model of selling on at this very high rate doesn't work. But I get your point. I always think having the option of being able to sell is good. You do limit how many teams you can sell to, because obviously Mo Salah is on an incredible contract, which would mean you'd need to either buy that out and then move him on and bring someone else in, but then you've wasted a whole load of money. Or you need someone else who's going to take that. Potentially there's someone else out there who will take that, but they will not want it to be Liverpool's sloppy seconds. Weird phrase, I know, but go with me. Anyone who's looking at other contracts to determine what he deserves should go. I'm sorry, including Mo. I love what he has done for the club, but he's not bigger than Liverpool. I don't care how many goals he scores. To be honest, apart from the goals, he doesn't do anything else. I think that's very much understating what Mo Salah does, and I've spoken about his gravity out on the field. But I'll put it this way. Not tracking back, not pressing properly, wrong passes, silly shots. I actually think all of those are things that Mo Salah doesn't do. Not tracking back, he does do tracking back. Pressing, he does do the pressing. Wrong passes, Very rarely do I see my seller make a bad decision. Very often it's the person on the other end of that decision. And silly shots, I don't think Mo Salah takes many of those anymore. I think he used to take a few more of those. And he was encouraged to do so by Jürgen. He was a volume shooter back in the day. It's just the way it is. So if he wants to twist the hands of the club, let him go. This time and vacate that 350k per week. It's a view, I can understand why some people hold it. And I believe me, I think, you know, after reading How to Win the Premier League, which was by Ian Graham, who was a previous one of the head analysts at Liverpool before and part of the transfer committee, it did give me some insight, or it felt like it gave me some insight into how the club think and how stats guys think ahead of other people out there. I think ultimately a lot of people see the big transfer computer as just one, you know, oh, it's just a machine. They just put things into it. It spits out like a one result. It's going to give you a lot of different results. You know, even the Opta supercomputer, which has got like 69% of the time Liverpool would win the league from this position. Previous years, there have been other teams who haven't won the league from this exact position. In fact, Liverpool just a couple of years ago were 8 points ahead and Man City were like ninth or something crazy in the table. And there were a lot. It was a very strong league that year. It was a very diverse league. I think, you know, it was also in a very different time for Liverpool. But my point is, these supercomputers, that's one thing that Opta supercomputer has spat out. What Liverpool get is a series of results, a series of tests, a series of, oh, like, are we, you know, in training, are we seeing a decline in his physical output? Or are we seeing the early signs of physical decline? These people get to track him on a daily basis. This isn't about signing someone from outside the club where we don't necessarily know his physical attributes. This is about signing someone from within the club or re-signing someone from within the club where you can see week in, week out his output, whether he is maintaining the same level, those kind of things. And they'll be basing all of their decisions on these things. These are really important things to remember. The club have a lot of data. And the data will not only be on, did he perform on the pitch that 1 week? Though that is very important. It will also be the underlying numbers that they'll have been tracking about Salah for years. And a lot of that is very important. And it'll be other things like, you know, is football moving in another direction? Does Slot necessarily want someone like Salah in that position? Or does he want someone different? Does he want more of an inside 10? Is that going to be something in the future for Liverpool? Could Salah play that position and still score goals for Liverpool? All these things are really important to remember for me. Mo is negotiating in public with his performances, shirtless celebrations, candid remarks, and that cheeky smile of someone who is obviously knows more than they are letting on. Yeah, it's a really good point. But I'd love to know what you think he knows that's more than they are letting on. Does he know more that he's leaving? And if he knows he's leaving, then this is a very callous, weird thing to do. If he is trying to get a better position against Liverpool, I still think there is an element of callousness, but it's a tactic, and he's publicly negotiating with the club. Salah in, FSG out. I will remind you when we do put stuff like this, I'm not necessarily against Salah in. I think FSG out is a short-sighted thing at this point. We want our owners to do everything right. And I think it is right to hold billionaires and millionaires to very high standards. I will not let you forget Salah himself is also a millionaire. And just because there is billionaires, millionaires and us, there's a lot of numbers between us and them, doesn't mean that the billionaires, 10 tons of crap, us, that's millionaires, us, 10 tons of crap, us. That's the way that works. It's the crap, millionaires, the crap, us. It is not billionaires, the crap, millionaires and us. Even though it might feel that way, because that is the way that the Premier League markets itself. Normal people playing football. These people are far from normal. Believe me, if you looked up how much courtside tickets cost, you would know these people are far from normal. Wow, this one comment here left a real... Your points are stupid. We didn't spend any money this summer, and now we don't have any money for the contracts. Liverpool is top five club in the world in terms of revenue. I have to say, the last time that I checked, Liverpool were ninth in terms of revenue. That was in the 23-24 books. That was the Deloitte list. But, sure. Not being funny, but... Also, your points are stupid. Just don't watch, buddy. Just don't watch. If you think the points are stupid, don't watch the channel. Or watch and then leave stupid comments like this. Because you give me some comments for my video. Not being funny, we did buy Keeper and Chiesa. Did we spend big? No. Did we need to? Someone else says no. And Slot wanted to see what we had. Whether I, all these things, by the way, I'm not saying you guys are wrong. I don't think you're wrong in what you're saying. But Liverpool, the top five for revenue, not true. But they're still in the top 10. That leaves us in a very good position. And you'd argue that really the gap's between 20 million in revenue and not that much. So we are top 10. Really, we're in the top tier. We're in the top 0.01%. We didn't spend money in the summer, and now we don't have any money for contracts. At no point has anyone laid out that we don't have money for contracts. No one has said that Salah, Trent, and Virgil will not get new contracts. All of these are part of public negotiation tactics, which are great for headlines, but are not good for the fan base and their heart, blood pressure, all these kind of things. By the way, the heart's a vortex system. Did you know that? The owners are good for the club, says this comment. We have some of the best in the industry for recruitment. Look at Arsenal and Chelsea. They spend loads and won zip. Arsenal did win the FA Cup. We won everything. And that is against was against a sports washing machine. Will Goodchild, I've got to admit, you do make some positive points. I think that his points are stupid. Why can't you find someone who agrees with you? Oh, if you think his points are stupid. Fair point. Fair play. Thanks, Tamji Dijaz. Cool name. Trust me, this man just talks for the sake of it. Always goes, I think he means off subject as well, as he fills his videos with words. Pointless words. It's the pointless words caught me off guard because I hadn't read this one before. I've got to admit, I've read a lot of these comments, but I didn't read. But this Ashley Granderson guy, if you see him in the comments, you don't have to say explicitly, but just leave a little, do you know what I mean? As he fills his videos with words, pointless words. It's one of my favorite comments ever. Pointless words. I've seen a lot of comments that hate me down the years, but boy, do I love this comment. Yeah, thank you, Red. You're correct. Our recruitment is good, says Ross G. We signed Mo Salah and he's become the best player on the planet, arguably right now. There is literally no reason to let him go, like zero reason. He shouldn't take a pay cut because he's still providing exactly what he provided in 2022. It's a very good point. Market forces, et cetera, aging, guarding against the future, all those kind of things, I think will have an impact. But whether Liverpool choose to pay him the 350 grand or whether they choose to offer him a new contract and a slightly lower rate, fair enough. They want Chelsea owners who have cheated to manipulate the market and spent billions and won nothing. I mean, you have to give them a period to be able to actually win the thing. You can't buy a load of players and then go win it instantly. It's not the way it works. Anyway, I'm going to scroll up a little here, because I have 5 minutes left. Wow, I really haven't made it through many of these comments. This should have been a... You tried to defend this decision, Lawrence. You tried. I don't think it's defensible. Fair enough. And by the way, someone put what decision? Very good point. There is no decision being made. Stop the BS. Give the three players their contract. Stop it, man. And I had to remind this commenter, I don't negotiate the contracts. I'm 100% with you and what you're... And what you're explaining is prospect theory. You feel the loss over the gain to avoid the loss. You make irrational and risky decisions. It's a gambler's fallacy. Also, Mo hasn't been offered a new contract because the negotiations go on between management and club. His management obviously don't feel like what is negotiated is good enough to put to Mo. I think Mo will know whether they've been offered anything, though. I think, you know, as part of his representation, they have to say to him, by the way, we've been offered this. Mo needs to speak to his manager, not the press. I do think it makes a very good point, though. Rami Abbas, a very public agent. Fair enough if he wants to play these things out in public. Even financially, it makes sense to give this man what he wants. And I saw this multiple times throughout the comments. People basically financially breaking down, similar way to the Chris Pajak did it. I thought Chris Pajak did it in a slightly more measured way. But basically, they went 50 million, break that down over this amount of period. We won't be able to find someone else for that same price. But I also think we won't be able to attract someone else for that same price, or potentially more, as we didn't spend anything last summer, if, for instance, we have someone who's already in their position and would start ahead of them. Ashamed of my club, put someone in the comments. That will get us... a player that got Mo Salah's number, even though we have there is no player that creates Mo Salah numbers. This is kind of the crux of it here. Do you think there'll be another player who can come in at right wing and do Mo Salah numbers? I personally don't believe they'll instantly hit the ground and do that. And do you believe that Mo Salah numbers will continue with Mo? There's no African Cup of Nations until December 21st, 2025. Very good point. But if he, and as the point I made in the comments, if he signs this new contract, he would miss two January periods if he signed a three-year contract. I think he would sign a two-year contract with a one-year extension, but fair enough. Shaqiri is available. I think the cheap owners replace Mo Salah and Kabak for Virgil van Dijk. Very good. Ashley Granson, the same Ashley who commented a minute ago that my pointless words were used. He said nothing about being out. This clickbait channel is grown, getting worse and worse. Tell the truth. He puts N, stop lying. I'm not going to say what word I think. FFS. It's FSG. These posh Liverpool YouTube bums are so annoying. Never played the game. Don't even support the teams they talk about. Just making money off them. Like this bum. Stop going on like you have spoken to Salah. I've never said I spoke to Mo Salah and his agent and the club. You haven't, so why this video? You try to make money off the club. Mug. Ashley, please keep commenting. It gives me hours of belly laughs, frankly. I'm starting to freak out. Put someone else in the comments. Very good point. Wow, guys, I've not even made it halfway through your comments. Don't like the fact that he's talked so publicly. Very good point. The problem with FSG, won't spend them on a replacement. Interesting one. They will just bring in Doak from loan. Could be, I did speak about this in the video, maybe Ben Doak is kind of a short-term to medium-term option off the bench. You're overcomplicating things to someone else. Salah is one of the best players out there on a perfect form. Very good point. I think this kind of is the crux of it. I'd love to see Mo Salah re-sign. Would it be to the detriment of a replacement? No, and that's kind of our point here. Salah's output has been incredible. It's very different to Virgil van Dijk and Trent. I think Virgil in his own output has been incredible due to the unit they've created. And Mo Salah is also incredible. Trent, does he deserve the contract? I think there is negotiation to be done there, especially if we change the right-back role and Trent maybe outperforms that somewhere else. Maybe he's better leaving. I think at this point, I'd like to see all three sign a contract, obviously, but I'll be very happy if Mo and Virgil re-signed. To a 1+1 deal, possibly a 2+1 deal. Comment section, a great example of lack of nuanced reasoning on the tinternet. Very good point. Don't want to go and see that person's channel. The argument about Tobey Maguire, I made a Spider-Man argument. It was about the creative changes in the industry and what you would do if you wanted to replace Tobey Maguire with a new Spider-Man. Let me know what you guys thought about that. I thought it worked. I appreciate you guys watching the video. There are a lot more comments here, but I can't wait for the video tomorrow apologizing for this take. I love it. Well, there you got it, Jim. I appreciate you. Hipster Moneyball bullshitter needs to offer Mo. That's where we stop the video, guys. The production filming analogy is spot on. Different people disagreed. Join me in my comments below. Join me in my Discord. Join me on my Patreon. And I will chat to you guys here again real soon. Thanks for all the comments. Keep them raining in. I appreciate the conversation we can have. And getting in the comments with you guys. I'll chat to you guys later. Much love. Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.